This is Missionary Sunday. Just so happens that the Maxwells are here on the second Sunday of the month. And in your bulletin, there is also for you to be encouraged in missions article by Charlene Webb about her missionary days in Venezuela. And I encourage you to read that. And we just have missionaries here today from Ecuador. So we're right there in South America. And we're happy that that is happening today. So Rick and Jenneth, why don't you guys come on up? I just want to have a short interview with you before we get going. Or actually, as we get going, I guess we are getting going, aren't we, this morning? Good to have you guys with us this morning. We're excited to be able to hear from you and what you're doing. Many of you individually support the Maxwells financially, and a number of you pray. We have a group of people that meet every Tuesday morning and pray diligently for our missionaries and other things, and you are on that list, and we're so grateful that you can be here this morning with us. You guys are in Ecuador, and with what missions organization are you guys with?
We're with Action International Ministries.
Okay.
And it's a small mission, relatively small mission, about 260 missionaries in about 18 countries.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Last time you were here was when?
Was it about 4 or 5 years ago, I think?
Which was Community Bible Church. Now we're Christ Community Church, a merger of two churches.
And we saw the name get longer.
That's right, the name got longer. A room got a little bit bigger. And so we're just grateful that we can hear of you and see you. But first, tell us a little bit, how did you guys meet? Jenneth, you want to do that?
It's a long story.
Yeah. Give us the brief version.
Let's see if I can. I went to Bible school in Texas. Okay. All my classes were in Spanish, so I didn't talk any English.
Yeah.
I started to learn English in 2000. Mm-hmm. But I met Rick because the school has two schools, like Bible school and language school.
Okay.
So all the missionaries that are going to Latin America countries, they go and learn Spanish over there.
Mm-hmm.
So in 98, I was studying from 96 to 2000.
Okay.
And I met Rick in 97,
okay.
98.
I'll give a few more details.
Okay.
Her mother went to work for an American couple that was living in Ecuador visiting their son. And that couple were friends with my aunt and uncle, Brad and Ruth Hart.
Yeah.
And then with the passage of years, Uncle Brad and Aunt Ruth recommended Jeanette as a wife for me. And by that time, they already knew her parents.
Yeah.
They had been to Ecuador. And she had met my parents, and I didn't know, but she didn't initiate it, I'm sure, but she and my dad were corresponding. So by the time I said something positive about Jeanette, he was ready to respond positively, and then that resulted in my pursuing it. We were at supper table with my sister. I said, "They're so small," referring to her and her sister, "that I could pick her up with one hand." And my dad said, "I'll pay your ticket if you go prove it." So my dad's Scotch, and he doesn't throw around his money, and he doesn't throw around his word. And I knew I had a ticket if I wanted it. I went downstairs and found Jeanette online. Her sister said, "Invite him to my wedding." And so now I had an invitation and a ticket if I wanted to go. So I told her I thought I might. She seemed to get a little excited, and I got scared. So I said, said we should pray about it for a week. And so she said, "What's there to pray about?" And so I was on the spot. I had to decide, how am I going to respond? And I said, "Well, I think there's more at play than just going to a wedding," something like that. And so then we prayed about it for a week. I wasn't really one to want a special word that you could misinterpret. But my Uncle Brad told me, "You need a word from God." And I went to my devotions, and I thought God was saying yes. It gets several verses to put my mind to rest. So I bought a ring, but I still wanted to be sure. Got off the plane, and I didn't have any immediate reaction and the lights just kept turning green. And the rest is, there's more details, but that's a short
break. Rest is history.
Yeah.
Can you pick her up with one hand? Just curious.
I picked her up with one arm.
Very good. Excellent. And just a little bit of an update. You guys are coming home, and that home is in Canada, kind of.
Yeah, the mission has given us a job of they want us to be representatives for the Western provinces, for Alberta, or for Canada, which we looked it up on Wikipedia because we weren't sure what the Western provinces were.
Yeah.
It was it's the four Western provinces, I think, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, while we do legal work for our children and my wife's citizenship in Canada, which will facilitate future border border crossings.
So there's Christians in Canada?
We hope so.
Okay. At least two. Yeah, we'll be praying for you.
I have a few relatives, too.
That's funny, yeah. Well, we are happy that you're with us this morning. And, Jeanette, why don't you introduce your kids before you...
Raquel, Sebastian, and Justin, please.
Stand up. Let us see you.
You're going to come and see
Maxwell kids.
I don't know.
They're back there.
Yeah.
Wave
Hello.
Your hands. And their names are, again, and their ages.
Raquel is 7, and I think some of you met Raquel when she was baby. Somebody help me. Raquel and Sebastian is 5. He was born. Raquel was born in Canada, and Sebastian was born in Mexico because we were working as missionaries in Mexico as well. And then Justin was born in Ecuador, and he's 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me just pray with you before Rick talks. Lord, we are grateful and for your kindness in bringing these two together. Lord, we are amazed. Some of us sit here who are single wondering who we will marry, and this is a good example, Lord, of how that is in your hands. And so, Lord, we thank you for leading them and directing them, and in a particular way, two people with a heart for your children throughout this world and those that would come to you, and just pray your blessing upon them this morning, Lord, that we might be encouraged and they might be encouraged by being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So we're going to hand this over to Rick. And before we go today and have a potluck, we want to just gather around them and pray with them. So hang around and we'll do that. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
It's up
thank
to you,
you very
brother.
Much. Well, nice to see you all today. A few faces I recognize here and there. And we certainly do appreciate those cards that have been coming faithfully over the last years. It's the most consistent mail we receive, are the cards from your church. A beautiful, I don't know if any of you have seen, have you guys seen the cards that the ladies group sends? Have you ever seen those? Beautiful photography. And then Joy has such a way of expressing things in an encouraging way. Can you hear me okay? Okay. In an encouraging way that is a lift when we read her cards. For a while, our post office box expired, and we didn't realize it. And so we stopped receiving them for a little while. But then once the post office box got going again, I think they've been coming since. So we're very grateful. And now we just arranged that before the service to keep receiving them in Canada. So we're grateful for that. It's a real encouragement. God bless you all, and thank you for your prayers for us over these years and participation in different ways in what the Lord is doing in our lives and through our lives. I would like to share with you, I think we'll go through a few slides. So I'm over here. Okay. So I think I can just push the button here. Let me turn this. There we are. Feet as such are not beautiful, are they? Oh, got a little feedback there. Are we okay there? Yeah, okay, good. I would just like you to stand for a minute. You could be falling asleep. Just stand up for a minute. And it's a warm day. And I'd like you to think for a minute of your work, your circle, people you know. I'm not going to ask for you to divulge your... Should I turn this a little bit? Divulge your... I'm not going to ask you all to tell your stories, but I'd like you to think of people you meet every day. And how do we influence them for God? How do we influence them for good? How do we influence them for the gospel? Are your feet beautiful? We won't ask you to take off your socks or your shoes, please. I'm still getting feedback there. Maybe I'll move over a little more. Okay, sure, that'd be fine.
The
This one up here? Yeah. Okay, it's off. Yeah, okay. Okay. How beautiful are your feet? We get beautiful feet, obviously, by the message we bring. The gospel is the power of God, as we know, unto what? To the salvation of all who believe. You may sit down if you like. Power of God unto the salvation of all who believe. So how clear are we on the gospel? If somebody asked us to share the gospel in 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, could we give a real succinct version of the gospel? I don't know if I could have until after Bible school. Probably could have done some sort of a job, but after Bible school I took a course from Child Evangelism Fellowship, and they helped us to get more clarity on the gospel. And I challenge you to look for a verse like Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't know if you've ever seen the bridge illustration. If you haven't, you can look it up online. There is the wages, the payment, what we receive in exchange for something. In this case, we receive death or separation. Physical death is separation of the body from the spirit. Spiritual death is our separation from God. The wages of sin is death. But, and that's a big word to translate from the one condition to the other provision, the gift of God, in contrast to a wages, we receive something for nothing. We receive something as sinners. We have no reason to feel condemned today. We can feel convicted. We have no reason to feel condemned because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. He came to save us. The gift of God, God is the antithesis to evil. We are sinners. God is holy. The gift of God is eternal life. In contrast to death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died to bridge the gap between us and God. And so through his death, we receive what we didn't deserve, forgiveness. As we recognize that he made the provision for us as sinners so that we can be forgiven, sanctified, justified, in whatever order we're going to name those, declared righteous, and in the practice, progressively made righteous into the people he has already made us, sanctified forever those who are being made holy. The good news. We've been cooperating in a church plant, as you know, Christian and Ava. How many of you have heard the name Christian and Ava? Okay, some of you. So Christian and Ava are our brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Jeanette's sister, Ava. There are prayer cards on the back table if you would like to get one after the service. There are prayer cards of Christian and Ava and of ourselves. Help yourself there. There's also some little ceramic birds from Mexico. Help yourself to those too if you've prayed. If you haven't prayed and you'd like one, say a prayer and take one. It's a way to remember us as you see that in your house. We've been cooperating in a church plant with them. They've been carrying the lion's share of the load there. And then we've been collaborating in different ways. We've also been doing a little bit of rural Quechua pastoral leadership development. And then toward the end, I was visiting men that are in transition back to their home countries, men that have been in jail there in Ecuador. Here are Christian and Ava and ourselves. You might think of us at the equator and think we're always hot, but the fact is that it gets cold sometimes. And we're at about 9,200 feet, I think, in Quito, so it's not as warm as you might think. Up from the town, the city of Quito is where the church plant is. VBS has different stations each summer. Some of you have been involved in VBS up here. Jeanette and her sister are a big part of planning that. This year I helped with choosing the Bible stories. We were working with a package from the United States, but some of the stories and transitions weren't so theologically developed, so I helped to bring some clarity to that. It's an important time in these kids' lives to hear more clarity and for more kids to become involved with our church. So the theme of last summer was Paul, and we had drama. our church is learning to do drama. Sometimes we were doing, I was recording audio so that people didn't have to memorize all their lines. Sometimes they're a little bit monotone, so we're working with audio. So they did well, and they're growing in that. Also, there's a weekly children's club. Here's some of the kids, cute kids. They'll win your heart. They're needy kids. Some of their families have come from alcohol fighting situations into the gospel, and people are growing in their faith. So it's a credit to God's grace. Oops, pushed twice there. Slowly, we've tried to accumulate a little bit of sound equipment. I've been running that and tried to teach one guy there a little bit how to run it. Also doing some translating for another missionary that came down to visit. Our people get creative with their costumes, so it looks pretty authentic. And then we were up at my wife's grandma's place for one Christmas program, and we were right in the manger, actually, of sheep, a sheep manger. So it was pretty authentic feel of being right there in the, as it were, on the farm with the animals. My wife is glad to serve people, and she does a nice job. Oops. I keep bumping this twice here. So we've been involved in different ways there at the church. Nelson is one of the converts. He's in charge of the little library. Jeanette and I decided we had a few dollars left over from tithe. We decided to buy a bookshelf and some books. We didn't have enough money to buy very many, so I was turning the books sideways to make the shelves look fuller. But if you want to help, we could try to channel your gifts down to Ecuador to help fill this church library for those students who attend the church. They're growing in their ability to teach and preach, and they could use your help with tools for Bible study. We would like it to look like that someday. So the Quechuas, both men and women, have braids. It's a little different experience, but they love the Lord. They're learning and they're growing in their faith. Some of them don't have much education. I worked with these two pastors for some months. The one up at the top doesn't write almost anything. He hardly knows how to write, and he doesn't read even very well his Quechua Bible. So obviously a Bible study is a bit of a grueling, slow process as we try to teach them. So we're on different passports. We want to get everyone on the same passport. Life is going to get simpler. And then fill this role of church relations coordinator in the western provinces. The harvest is white. There's still much to do. We want to motivate Canadians to become involved in the harvest in greater ways. I don't know your situation here locally so much, but Canadians often have a good income. They have many of the toys, but then it's not always clear how much they're aware of the outside world and the needs of the world. I think sometimes things can get turned in. There's a time for turning in when we need healing, and that we need fellowship as well. But there's also, we're going to be dying if we are turned in too long. We can't have the roots growing in too long. We have to keep growing by being turned out. So may the Lord help us. We need to be followers of Christ. He will make us fishers of men. We greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. If the believers there in the church in Ecuador were aware that we are here today, they would send their greetings from the mountains of Ecuador. Most of them are, as I was mentioning, young in the faith, having received the Lord within the last 4 to 5 years. But though they are young in the faith, they have grown a lot. And Christian and Eva started with this church about 5 or 6 years ago, convinced of the importance of the Word of God. They have worked hard to teach and preach the Word to the believers. It has been our privilege to co-labor with them in different ways. We have also done some of the other ministries you've seen in the pictures there. So we thank you for your prayers, your collaboration with us in the work. After we have completed citizenship in Canada, we hope to go back overseas. So be praying for us in this process. We've learned recently that we first learned that we could probably go back overseas in about 2 years. Now it's looking more like six. So pray for God's work in the government of Canada to not tie up issues that would keep people from being able to travel freely in missionary work. The day after we arrived in Three Hills, we met a Mexican family. Now we have a small Bible study with three Mexicans, and we would ask for your prayer for that as we are in Canada. There are 10 Mexicans working at a local meat plant near the small town of Three Hills where we live, and so we would pray for more of those. Some of them have been involved previously, so pray for them and their spiritual growth, and help us. The Lord would help us to be able to reach out to them in effective ways. How does God call you into ministry? I'd like to talk just a little bit about that today. Have you ever asked yourself that? How does God call you into ministry? Today I would like to help you answer that question. Let's look in our Bibles today at Romans 10. Romans 10. And let's read verses 13 to 15. 15a. Romans 10, 13 to 15a. You have it there? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to read verse 14? I don't know if we're all in the same version or not. Oh, there's too many versions? Okay, I'll just keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How does God call you into ministry? Well, I'm going to look at some steps. Maybe not the right way to divide this up, and if you're an exegete, then pardon me. But we're going to look at this in a few steps here. The first step is in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never done so before, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Probably most of us here today are people who have done that, but maybe there is someone who hasn't. What does this mean, to call on the name of the Lord? Well, let's look at verse 9 briefly. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's stated in a little more natural order in verse 10. What does it say? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We see here belief and confession. When you call on the name of the Lord, you are recognizing Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you recognized Jesus Christ as Lord? This is not mere lip service. It's not merely saying the words. It's more like the man Jesus described, the man who fell under conviction of his sin. Standing in the temple, he cried, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have you ever felt the conviction of your sins enough to cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner? If not, you have not taken the first step in knowing the will of God for your life. Today is the day of salvation. It would be good for you, before you leave here today, to ask my wife or I or your pastors how you can find forgiveness of your sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible that you have not taken this first step because you have not taken the second, which is in fact a prerequisite for the first. Let's look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Maybe you have not believed in Jesus Christ. How are you going to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord if you have not believed in him? Maybe for you, Jesus continues to be only a pious man that walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. If this is your understanding, you have failed to take this step. Let's look at verse 14b. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Maybe you have heard something about Jesus. It's hard not to in America. But he has continued to be just a good example to follow. If someone were to ask you, why did Jesus die on the cross? You would simply parrot what you've heard others say. Well, he died to save us, or to give us an example of how to die. You might say he died for our sins. It is true that he died for our sins, but if we asked you what it means that he died for our sins, would you be able to explain how his death on the cross helps us? How does it help us? If this is your case, you need to learn more about Jesus so that you will have a broader understanding of who he is. For this reason, you need to experience step number 4, verse 14, again, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You need someone to preach to you. That's our role in as preachers. My grandfather was the house shark for his father's pool hall in Salina, Kansas. Has anyone been to Salina, Kansas? Okay, one person. Has anyone been to Mentor, Kansas? Another person? Okay. Okay, wow. His mother was from Salina. This is a small world. I might have thought nobody would have made it over there. I've been there. Drove. I wanted to see where we were from. I found a street with my last name in Mentor, a tiny little town with a, I don't know how many streets, but it has one named Maxwell. It was apparently a great uncle. I got on the phone and called around and tried to find some of my relatives because I was just interested in learning the family tree a little bit more. Well, turned out my grandpa, when he was saved, was very strong in his conviction. And the one great uncle I got in touch with said, yeah, one of my brothers told him that if he didn't stop preaching to the workers in the lunchroom, he would throw them out. And he didn't stop. So that was the end of my grandpa being in the lunchroom. And then from there he moved to Canada. We didn't hear about a lot about his relatives. So I guess probably they wrote him off as a fanatic. But he was a person of conviction, for sure, my grandpa. At 16, he was, I think it was about that age, he was the house shark there at the pool hall, winning the bets for the people for his father. And his great aunt prayed for him, and she invited him to go to some tent meetings. I think the States is a little more common to have those, I don't know, sawdust trail meetings. And so he went, and he fell under conviction, and he received the Lord in his hotel room, and he was up till 4 in the morning reading his Bible to get closer to God. He felt just a hunger for the Word at that time. And he went to a small Bible school that was only open for 4 years, for 5 years. He graduated from that Bible school, and after his graduation, or nearing his graduation, the principal of the school got an invitation from Canada, from a farming family, maybe two farming families, I'm not sure, and said, would you send us a student to be our teacher for our kids? And so he had three things that he never wanted to do. He didn't want to live in a cold climate, he didn't want to farm, and he didn't want to preach. And so in 1922, he got off the train in Three Hills, and obviously was starting a new adventure in his life. Obviously, cold is something you live with, and he was working on the farm where he taught the kids, and ended up being the preacher at the school that got started there. Prairie Bible Institute grew up as Grandpa and others sought to teach the kids. They built a school, a building there. The townspeople said, when you're finished with that building, we'll make a dance hall out of it. And my grandpa just about burned out with the stress, but he started walking out to the Three Hills. If you go to Canada, you laugh to see the Three Hills, and my wife laughs harder because the Andes are so tall. And the Three Hills are like three pimples, actually two and a half, on the prairies. You almost can't see them. You look, and you have to look again, and yes, they are there, but they're not very noticeable. But it was enough to name a town after. And so in that small town, far from probability, God started a work, and by 1976, there were 1,200 students, but there are only about 150 or something today, not sure the exact number. So there's been some ups and downs. My cousin is currently the president of the school, and things are starting to pick up, but they went through a lot of years of turmoil, and then Canadians are not big on Bible school these days, so I don't know about Americans, but there's still plenty to do in the vineyard. So my grandpa ended up doing what he didn't want to do, but ending up enjoying it. And now there's been, I think I had heard over 1,000, not sure the exact statistics, missionaries that have gone out from that school over the years. So God worked in my grandpa and made him into a you know, a growingly sincere follower of his. At the age of 84, I believe it was, my grandpa walked away from his office, and maybe his secretary cleaned it out. He said that was going to be his last day of work. And then Parkinson's took him down toward the end. He at 86, I think, is when my uncle passed away in a car accident. My uncle was a missionary in Africa, hit black ice in northern Alberta, and head on, they were gone instantly. My grandpa said, why couldn't it have been I? He was either 84 or 86 at that time. Why couldn't it have been I? And then he said, well, I guess there's something worse than having a son in heaven. So he found some consolation in that. How are we investing our life? If we died today, would it have been a life well spent? Can we begin today to invest our life in ever more significant ways for the kingdom? If you haven't heard this gospel of Christ, you need someone to preach you the message. By now you may be realizing that the majority of these prerequisites are not so much steps as things that happen to you. By God's grace, He works in your life. But all of these prerequisites are necessary for you to find and do the will of God for your life. Christian Mediavilla is my brother-in-law. He was in a gang, sort of a rock group, groupie. I don't know if it was gang exactly, but groupie with a heavy metal, sort of heavy metal rock group. He has some tattoos on his arm, I think from some prison time he saw. Not just sure exactly where he got them, but he did spend a little time in prison. It was a grueling experience in Ecuadorian prison. But the Lord worked in his life. One night his uncle said to him, Christian, you need to receive the Lord. And he said, yeah, maybe, or yeah, but someday, but not today. And he went to a party. At the party, he had a beer, and somebody came over to him and said, give me a drink. And he said, no. And I don't know, the guy was just looking for a fight, I think. And so he came back a few minutes later with two other people and said, so give me a drink. And he said, no again, I think. And so he said, well, let's go outside. So he said, okay. So he went outside, and he didn't know that there was a whole group of people waiting for him. They were with sticks and maybe a machete and different things. They started beating on him, and they broke his cranium, and he ended up with like broken open, kind of. So he went running. He ended up back at his mother's place. They chased him back to his mother's place, and they were standing outside pretty much ready to break the door down when his uncle, the one that had witnessed to him that night, came around the corner, and he was a night watchman, looked like a policeman, so they got scared and broke up. They left the place, and he ended up being saved by that uncle, saved from disaster, and taken to the hospital. At the hospital, nobody wanted to touch him because it was too dangerous to do anything with his head. So a black nurse that he never saw again went back and asked for her later. They didn't know who she was, but a black nurse treated him, and she said, I will not guarantee you anything. I will simply sew you up, and that's all. So she pulled the skin together. He can still feel pieces of his cranium around there. And I think maybe that gap is slowly closing. I don't know how brains work or craniums work. But anyway, that night at, I think it was the 25th of December, about 12 years ago, he was in the hospital and received the Lord with his uncle. His uncle at the hospital then, God worked and convinced him that it was time for him to receive the Lord. We need a preacher in order for us to, or we need to be in the Word ourselves in order for us to hear the Word and it to get into our hearts and lives. God worked through his uncle, and Christian then went on to study in different theological training, and then God laid it on his heart to start a church, and now, as you know, that church is growing. Now Christian's view for the longer term is to keep seeing that church become a missions training center, and they want to start other churches. Were we to have gone back this fall, we probably would have been part of a church plant helping some of those believers in that church to start, but it may delay it a little bit, but they'll probably get started soon anyway. So you can continue to pray for them in that process. Let's review. God must send someone to preach the message of Jesus Christ to you. That person may arrive due to his or her own conviction, or be sent by a group of believers, such as yourselves, who are concerned for people like you, that you may find salvation in Jesus Christ. The person that God sends must understand the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, well. By means of that person, you will hear the preaching that you so much need. This will broaden your vision with relation to the identity of Jesus Christ and what he did for us by means of his death on the cross and resurrection on the third day. Upon understanding the truth about the person of Jesus Christ and his work in your favor, you will be able to believe in him from your heart with the conviction that he is the Lord of life, who was also raised from the dead. Knowing that he is the Lord and our Savior, you will be able to call on his name in repentance and faith, and so be saved from your sins. Interestingly, upon being saved, you are called to be one that gives testimony to the same work of Jesus Christ on behalf of the world. So we return to the question, how do you know the call of God on your life with relation to ministry? Well, in the first place, God wants you to be a light wherever you go. People need to understand the gospel. It's not enough to say we're a Christian. They need to hear of Christ and who he was and what he did. In second place, God wants you to pray for his work worldwide. In third place, he wants you to participate in every way you can in the extension of his kingdom. You may need to love your neighbor when it's difficult, or your enemy, and testify about Jesus Christ when God opens the door. God may call you to seek opportunities to share your faith on the job, during recreation, or on the street. He may want you to go on short or long-term missions. If you can't go, you can support a missionary financially so as to co-labor in the work they do. So you will be investing in eternity. God called me when I was 14 at a meeting something like this one. He later confirmed it to me in a special way that I won't take time to tell now. Maybe he's calling you today to give your life so that others may know Jesus Christ. I'm here today to preach the gospel and to stimulate you to love and good works, especially to the work of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your church can help you confirm your participation in the global work of God. We all want God to be glorified in and through all that is done in our lives. Your church should help you confirm your call. May God bless you and give you guidance, each one, as we seek to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. It's a privilege to have been here today with you. Look forward to visiting with you some more, and maybe invite my wife and kids to come up every night before we go to bed, almost without fail. We pray together. I pray with them. We learn something about the positive effects of a father praying with his kids. After I say that, maybe our kids are going to turn squirrely. But anyway, I try to spend that time with them each night, a prayer time and then a singing time. So we've learned some of the traditional songs you will have known. We don't obligate them, but it's an opportunity for them to glorify God with their voices. We're going to sing a few songs that you might recognize. One of the favorite verses of the world is the verse you could probably name as soon as I say that. Our kids will maybe try to say that verse today. You going to say the verse? Yeah, come around here with Raquel. Oh, okay. Don't push Raquel, please. Okay, thanks. Okay, John 3.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus.
Where would we be if Jesus didn't love us? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus loves us.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
New verse.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine, mine, mine. Jesus is mine. Mine when I'm weary, mine when I'm cheery. Mine, mine, mine. Jesus is mine. Jesus is always wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. We'll be dwelling together. How happy we will be throughout eternity. For we'll be dwelling together. My Lord, and I love Him better every
day. D-A-Y.
I love Him better every day.
D-A-Y.
Close by His side, I will abide. I love Him better every
D-A-Y.
And that's enough to make me sing
and shout.
And that's enough to make me sing
and shout.
My sins are all forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. And that's enough to make me, that's enough to make me, that's enough to make me sing
and shout.
Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna.
Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the
King of Kings. Sing,
Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Okay, thank you, kids. Okay. Children, go on, come back. Sebastian and Justin, come. Sebastian, Rico.
It takes a lot of courage to stand in front of people that you don't know and sing. Believe me, I wouldn't do it personally. Thanks, honey. I would not be able to. I would just like you guys to come on up, and we'd like to pray with you. And can we just all stand this morning? And in the front rows, just move forward. We're going to lay hands on these guys and pray with them and ask God's blessing upon them. We've heard of various prayer requests. Just walk down the aisles. Don't be bashful. Come on, this is the body of Christ. These are ones that God has called to a very particular place at a very particular time, and we want to bless them. Lay your hands on one another, even as we lay our hands upon them. So we've heard these prayer requests, that God would be gracious in the Canadian government and allow perhaps a shorter time for this process to take place of citizenship, and also continued prayer for Christian and Eva back in Ecuador, and for this church plant and for the Christians there that are growing and developing. Was there one more that you would like to add to that list, three for us that we could remember?
Well, for ourselves, as we are in Canada, that God will work to mobilize Canadians.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thanks.
Let's just pray. Lord, we are so thankful to have the Maxwells with us this morning, and we've heard of the heart to share your gospel with those around them. And so, Lord, they won't be in Ecuador for a while, but they'll be in Canada, but there is this opportunity to share you there. So, Lord, we pray that you'd work through them and help them to be instrumental in mobilizing Canadians to be your witness around this world. Provide for them, Lord, we pray, by your graces. And Lord, we also pray that the Canadian government would free them up to be able to go back to Ecuador sooner than it appears. Lord, we pray for a laxing of these regulations and restrictions, Lord, that they might gain the citizenship that they desire in a quicker fashion, and we put that in your hands. And then, Lord, we pray for those that remain in Ecuador. We pray for Christian and Eva, Lord, just for your grace and mercy upon them, that they would minister for you. We're so grateful for the story, Lord, of salvation that we've heard this morning, how you intervene at the most critical times in our life, how you give us hope beyond ourselves, how, Lord, you bring us to yourself through our circumstances that often we have gotten ourselves into, but, Lord, you come and bring hope through deliverance and forgiveness. So, Lord, we pray for these folks back there. Lord, give them mercy, give them grace. We pray for a church plant there. Lord, that you would bring Christians that would support and participate, and then, Lord, that they would reach out to those around them and that the church would grow in Ecuador. And for your name's sake, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So let's just go ahead and hang out here for a few minutes. I think we probably have to... Anything we have to do to have potluck?
Say grace.
Say grace? That's it?
That's right.
Are we ready, pretty much?
Yeah.
Doug, you want to thank the Lord?
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning to hear more about how you are at work in different parts of the world and how you are at work in each of us in our own lives, whether it be here in this country, in Canada, or in Ecuador. Lord, we now just take a moment to thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Bless it to our bodies and for the time that we have together. In your name, amen.
So please take this time to greet and meet the Maxwells, and when they're ready to get in line, let them get in the front of the line, would you, wherever that line is. Thank you so much.
Hi. How are you doing? Good. Hi.
I'm Michael.
Michael, good to meet you.